Hello, Pepper. It's been a while, I said. The last time we met up, you tried to kidnap me. Isn't that right?
Kidnapping is a federal offense for us Earth dwellers, Scott chimed in. Something tells me it's frowned on in heaven, too.
Keep your voice down, Pepper growled, nervously eyeing the other players. I swept my eyebrows up, speaking directly to Pepper's thoughts. You haven't told your human friends what you really are, although I don't suppose they'd be too happy to learn that your poker skills have a lot more to do with mind compulsion than luck or skill.
Let's take this outside, Pepper told me, folding from the game.
Up you go, Scott said, hoisting him up by the elbow. In the alley behind the devil's handbag, I spoke first.
We're going to make this simple for you, Pepper. As fun as it's been having you use me to get to Patch, I'm ready to move on. The way I figure it, that's only going to happen if I find out who's really blackmailing you, I said, testing him. I wanted to tell him my theory, that he was playing errand boy for a secret group of archangels and needed a half-decent excuse to send Patch to hell. But in the name of playing it safe, I decided to hold off and see how this shook out. Pepper squinted at me, his features as disgruntled as they were skeptical.
What's this about?
Which is where we come in, Scott chimed in. We are motivated to find your blackmailer. Pepper narrowed his eyes further at Scott.
Who are you?
Think of me as the ticking bomb under your seat. If you don't make a decision to agree to Nora's terms, I'll make it for you. Scott started rolling up his sleeves.
Are you threatening me?
Pepper asked incredulously. Here are my terms, I said. We'll find your blackmailer and we'll deliver them to you. What we want in return is simple. Swear an oath to leave Patch alone. I slapped a pointy toothpick into Pepper's fleshy palm. Since the bartender had frisked me, it was the best I could do. A little blood and a few earnest words should do the trick. If I got him to swear an oath, he'd have to slink back to the archangels with his tail between his legs and confess failure. If he refused, it only gave more validity to my theory.
Archangels don't swear blood vows, Pepper sneered.
Getting warmer, I thought. Do they shove fallen angels they've got a beef with into hell? Scott asked. Pepper looked at us as if we were insane.
What are you raving on about?
How does it feel to be the archangel's peon? I asked. What did they offer you in return? Scott demanded. The archangels aren't down here, I said. You're on your own. Do you really want to go up against Patch alone?
Come on, Pepper, I thought. Tell me what I want to hear. That this contrived story of blackmail is an excuse to fulfill your assignment from a rogue group of archangels to get rid of Patch.
Pepper's expression of disbelief deepened, and I pounced on his silence. You're going to swear that oath right now, Pepper. Scott and I closed in on him.
No oath, Pepper squeaked. But I'll leave Patch alone, I promise.
If only I could trust you to keep your word, I returned. Trouble is, I don't think you're a very honest guy. In fact, I think this whole blackmailing business is a ruse.
Pepper's eyes widened with understanding. He sputtered in disbelief, his face turning a throttled pink.
Let me see if I've got this. You think I'm after Patch for blackmailing me? He screeched at last.
Yeah, Scott supplied. Yeah, we do.
That's why he's refusing to meet me, because he thinks I want to chain him in hell. I wasn't threatening him, Pepper squealed, his round face growing more flushed by the moment. I wanted to offer him a job. I've been trying to get that across all along.
Scott and I spoke at the same time.
A job?
We shared a hasty, skeptical glance.
You were telling the truth? I asked Pepper. You really have a job for Patch, and that's all?
Yes, yes, a job, Pepper snarled. What did you think? Crikey, what a mess! Nothing has gone as it should.
What's the job? I quizzed him.
Like I tell you, if you'd helped me reach Patch in time, I wouldn't be in a hot mess. This whole thing is your fault. My job offer is for Patch, and Patch alone.
Let me get this straight, I said. You don't think Patch is blackmailing you?
Why would I think that when I already know who's blackmailing me?
He fired back, exasperated. You know who the blackmailer is? Scott repeated. Pepper shot me a look of disgust.
Get the sniffle out of my face. Do I know who's blackmailing me?
He snorted impatiently.
Yes, I'm supposed to meet them tonight, and you'll never guess who it is.
Who?
I asked.
Huh, It would be lovely if I could tell you, wouldn't it? Trouble is, my blackmailer made me swear an oath not to reveal their identity. Don't bother probing. My lips are sealed, literally. They said they'd call with the location of the meeting 20 minutes before I have to be there. If I don't cover up this mess soon, the archangels are going to sniff me out. He added, wringing his hands. I noted that his demeanor quickly switched to fearful at the mention of other archangels. I tried to remain unfazed. This wasn't the move I'd expected him to make. I wondered if this was a tactic to throw us off his trail, or walk us into a trap. But the sweat beating his brow and the desperate look in his eyes seemed genuine. He wanted this over as badly as we did. My blackmailer wants me to enchant objects using the powers of heaven that all archangels possess. Pepper dabbed his pink forehead with a handkerchief. That's why they're blackmailing me. What objects? I asked. Pepper shook his head. They're going to bring them to the meeting. They said if I enchant them to their specifications, they'll leave me alone. They don't get it. Even if I enchant the objects, the powers of heaven can only be used for good. Whatever evil ideas they're entertaining, they won't work. Just the same, you're actually considering doing it? I asked reprovingly. I need them off my back. The archangels can't know what I've been doing. I'll be banished. They'll rip out my wings and it'll all be over. I'll be stuck down here forever. We need a plan, Scott said. 20 minutes between the call and the meeting doesn't give us a lot of wiggle room. When your blackmailer calls, agree to the meeting, I instructed Pepper. If they tell you to come alone, say you will. Sound as compliant and cooperative as you possibly can without going over the top. And then what? Pepper asked, flapping his shoulders as if to air out his armpits. I tried not to stare. Never could I have guessed that the first archangel I'd meet would be such a sniveling, cowardly rat. So much for the archangels of my dreams. Powerful, inescapable, all-knowing, and perhaps most important, exemplary. I fixed my eyes on Pepper's. And then, Scott and I will go in your place, take the blackmailer down, and deliver them to you. Chapter 27
What? You can't do that! Pepper spat the words vehemently. They won't be happy, and they'll refuse to work with me. Worse, they might go straight to the archangels.
Your blackmailer doesn't work with you anymore. From now on, he or she deals directly with us, I said. Scott and I are going to retrieve the objects they want enchanted, and we might need your cooperation in evaluating them. If you can tell us what you think they might have intended to use them for, the information could be valuable.
How do I even know if I can trust you?
Pepper said in high-pitched protest. There's always a blood oath. I let the idea dangle. I'll swear my intentions, and you'll swear to stay away from Patch. Unless, of course, you're still too good for an oath.
This is awful, Pepper said, tugging at his collar like it was pinching him. What a tangle.
Scott and I will have a team in place. Nothing will go wrong, I reassured Pepper, then added a quick private instruction to Scott using mind speak. Keep him calm while I call Patch, will you? I walked to the end of the alley before placing the call. Dried leaves rustled past my feet, and I snuggled deeper into my coat for warmth. Of all the nights to be out, I'd chosen the coldest one yet. Frost bit into my skin and made my nose run. It's me. We've got Pepper. I heard Patch sigh in relief. I don't think the double life is an act, I went on. He's got a genuine gambling problem. Nor do I think he's on a mission from the archangels to chain you in hell. He might have been down here on assignment originally, but he's given it up in favor of indulging in a human lifestyle. Now for the big news. He knows you aren't blackmailing him. All this time he's been trying to pencil you in for a job.
What job?
He didn't say. I think he's dropped it. He's got bigger problems to fret over. He's scheduled to meet with the real blackmailer tonight. I didn't say the rest, but that didn't keep me from thinking it. I felt so confident Dabria was behind this, I would have bet my life on it. We don't know the time or the meeting place yet. When the blackmailer calls Pepper, we're going to have a 20-minute window. We'll need to move fast.
Do you think it's a trap?
I think Pepper is a coward, and he's glad we're going in and he doesn't have to.
I'm ready, Patch said grimly. As soon as I know where we're heading, I'll meet you there. Do one last thing for me, Angel.
Name it.
I want to find you safe and sound when this is over.
The call came 10 minutes before midnight. Pepper couldn't have given better answers if he'd rehearsed them.
Yes, I'll come alone. Yes, I'll enchant the objects. Yes, I can be at the cemetery in 20 minutes.
The instant he hung up, I said, "Which cemetery? Coldwater's?" A nod.
"Inside the mausoleum. I'm supposed to wait there for further instructions."
I turned to Scott. "There's only one mausoleum in the city cemetery. It's right by my dad's gravesite. We couldn't have picked a better spot ourselves. There are trees and headstones everywhere, and it will be dark. The blackmailer won't be able to tell it's you in the mausoleum, not Pepper, until it's too late." Scott tugged the black hoodie he'd been carrying all night over his head, leaving the hood partly up to cover his face.
"I'm a lot taller than Pepper," he said doubtfully.
Walk hunched over. "Your sweatshirt is baggy enough that they won't be able to tell the difference from a distance." I faced Pepper. "Give me your phone number. Keep the line open. I'll call you the minute we have your blackmailer."
"I have a bad feeling," Pepper said, wiping his palms on his slacks.
Scott lifted the hem of his hoodie, revealing to Pepper his unusual belt, which was glowing an unearthly blue.
"We aren't going unprepared."
Pepper's lips pinched together, but not before a wail of disapproval escaped.
"Devilcraft! The Archangels can never know I was involved in this!"
"Once Scott immobilizes your blackmailer, Patch and I will rush in. This is about as simple as it gets," I explained to Pepper.
"How do you know they won't have their own backup?"
he challenged. An image of Dabria flashed across my mind. She had only one friend, and even that was putting it kindly. Too bad that one friend would be instrumental in bringing her down tonight. I couldn't wait to see the look on her face when Patch jabbed a sharp and hopefully rusty object in her wing scars.
"If we're gonna do this, we gotta roll," Scott told me, glancing at his watch. "T-minus 15 minutes.
I grabbed Pepper's sleeve before he could run off. "Don't forget your end of the bargain, Pepper. Once we have your blackmailer, you and Patch are done." He nodded earnestly.
"I'll leave Patch alone. You have my word."
I didn't like the spark of mischief that seemed to flare momentarily at the backs of his eyes.
"But I can't help it if he comes looking for me," he added cryptically.
Chapter 28. Scott drove his Barracuda across town and I rode shotgun. He had the stereo turned low, playing Radiohead. His hard, set features flashed in and out of sight as we passed under cones of streetlight. He drove with both hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2, precisely.
"Nervous?" I asked.
"Don't insult me, Gray,"
he smiled, but it wasn't relaxed.
"So, what's up with you and V?"
I asked, trying to keep our minds off what lay ahead. No need to overthink things or start imagining worst-case scenarios. It was Patch, Scott, and me against Dabria. The takedown wouldn't last more than a couple of seconds.
"Don't get all girly on me."
"It's a valid question."
Scott bumped the stereo up a few notches.
"I don't kiss and tell."
"So you have kissed?"
I waggled my eyebrows. "Anything else I should know?" He almost smiled.
"Absolutely not."
The cemetery came into view around the next bend, and he tipped his head toward it.
"Where do you want me to park?"
"Here. We'll walk the rest of the way." Scott nodded.
"Lots of trees. Easy to hide. You'll be in the upper parking lot?"
"Bird's eye view.
Patch will be stationed by the south gate. We won't let you out of our sight."
"You won't."
I didn't comment on the ongoing rivalry between Patch and Scott. Patch might hold Scott in the same regard as a snake underfoot, but if he said he'd be there, he would. We swung out of the Barracuda. Scott tugged his hoodie down to hide his face and slumped his shoulders.
"How do I look?"
"Like Pepper's long-lost twin. Remember, the minute the blackmailer enters the mausoleum, handcuff them with the whip. I'll be waiting for your call." Scott gave me a fist bump, good luck I supposed, then took off at a steady jog toward the cemetery gates. I watched him swing over them with ease and disappear into the darkness. I called Patch. After several rings it went to voicemail. Impatiently I told the recording, "Scott's gone in, I'm heading to my post, call me the minute you get this, I need to know you're in position." I hung up, shivering against the gusts of icy wind. It rattled branches that autumn had stripped bare with a hollow, clanging sound. I stuffed my hands under my arms to warm them. Something didn't feel right. It wasn't like Patch to ignore a call, especially one from me, during an urgent situation. I wanted to discuss this inopportune turn of events with Scott, but he was already out of sight. If I chased him now, I'd risk blowing the operation. Instead, I hiked uphill toward the parking lot that sat on a ridge overlooking the cemetery. Once in position, I gazed down at the crooked rows of headstones rising out of grass so dark it appeared black. Stone angels with chipped wings seemed to float in the air just above the ground. Clouds obscured the moon, and 2 of the 5 lights in the parking lot were out. Below, the white mausoleum radiated a faint, ghostly luminescence.
Scott!
I shouted in mind speak, putting all my mental energy behind it. When only the whistle of wind sweeping over the hills answered, I assumed he was out of range. I didn't know how far Mindspeak traveled, but it seemed Scott was too far away. A rubble stone wall bordered the parking lot, and I crouched behind it, keeping my eyes trained on the mausoleum. A rangy black dog leaped suddenly over the wall, nearly causing me to fall back in fright. A pair of feral eyes gazed out from the ragtag animal's narrow face. The wild dog paced beside the wall, stopped to growl territorially at me, then bounded out of sight. Thank goodness. My vision was better than it had been when I was human, but I was far enough away from the mausoleum that I couldn't make out nearly as many details as I would have liked. The door appeared shut, but that made sense. Scott would have closed it behind him. I held my breath, waiting for Scott to emerge dragging Dabria, bound and helpless. Minutes ticked by. I shifted on my haunches, trying to get blood flow to my legs. I checked my cell phone. No missed calls. I could only assume Patch was sticking to the plan and patrolling the cemetery's lower gate. A horrible thought struck me. What if Dabria saw through Scott's disguise? What if she suspected he'd brought backup? My stomach slid to my knees. What if she'd called Pepper with a revised meeting place after Scott and I had left the Devil's Handbag? Either way, Pepper would have known to call me. We'd traded numbers. I was occupied with these troubling thoughts when the black dog returned, directing a menacing gnarl at me from the shadow of the wall. He flattened his ears against his head and arched his back threateningly. "Shoo!" I hissed back, gesturing with my hand. This time he bared pointy white teeth, pawing the dirt ferociously. I was just about to move a safe distance down the wall when a hot wire cut into my throat from behind, blocking my airway. I clawed at the wire, feeling it constrict tighter and tighter. I'd fallen back on my rear, my legs jerking. From my peripheral vision, I noted an eerie blue light emanating from the wire. It seemed to burn my skin like it had been dipped in acid. My fingers blistered with heat where they scratched at the wire, making it agonizing to grip. My attacker jerked back on the wire harder. Lights exploded across my vision. An ambush. The black dog continued to bark and leap wildly in circles, but the image was quickly dissolving. I was losing consciousness. Summoning what little energy remained, I focused on the dog, urging it in mind speak, "Bite! Bite my attacker!" I was too weak to attempt a mind trick on my attacker, knowing they'd feel me groping clumsily in their mind. Though I'd never attempted to mind trick an animal, the dog was smaller than a Nephil or a fallen angel, and if it was possible to compel them, it made sense that a slightly smaller animal would require less effort. "Attack!" I thought at the dog again, feeling my mind slide down a dark, drowsy tunnel. To my astonishment and disbelief, the dog raced forward and sank his jaws into my attacker's leg. I heard a sharp nip of teeth on bone and a male's guttural curse. The familiarity of the voice stunned me. I knew that voice. I trusted that voice. Propelled by betrayal and anger, I lunged into action. The dog's bite was just enough of a distraction for my attacker to loosen his grip on the wire. I closed my hands fully around it, ignoring the fiery burn long enough to yank it from my neck and fling it aside. The snake-like wire skittered over the gravel, and I recognized it in an instant. Scott's whip. Chapter 29. But it wasn't Scott attacking me. Gagging and wheezing as I sucked air back into my lungs, I saw Dante move to attack, and immediately spun around and shoved my foot into his stomach. He flew back, tumbling to the ground, looking startled. His eyes instantly hardened. So did mine. I pounced on him, straddling his chest, and mercilessly slammed his head repeatedly into the ground. Not enough to knock him out. I wanted him stunned, but still able to speak. I had plenty of questions I wanted answered now. "Bring me the whip," I ordered the dog, transmitting a picture of it to his mind so he'd understand my command. The dog obediently trotted over, dragging the whip between his teeth, seemingly immune to the effects of devilcraft. Was it possible this prototype couldn't harm him? Either way, I couldn't believe it. I could mind-speak to animals, or at least this one. I rolled Dante onto his stomach and used the whip to handcuff his wrists. It burned my fingers, but I was too angry to care. He made a groan of protest. Standing, I kicked his ribs to get him fully awake. "The first words out of your mouth had better be an explanation," I said. With one cheek pressed into the gravel, his lips curved into a bullying smile. "I didn't know it was you."
he said innocently, mocking me. I crouched down, locking our gazes.
If you don't want to talk to me, I'll turn you over to Patch. You and I both know that road will be a lot more unpleasant.
Patch, Dante chuckled.
Call him.
Go ahead.
See if he answers. I see fear fluttered in my chest. What do you mean?
Unlock my hands and maybe I'll tell you, in great detail, what I did to him.
I slapped him across the face so hard my own hand stung. Where is Patch? I asked again, trying to keep the panic out of my voice, knowing it would only amuse Dante.
Do you want to know what I did to Patch? Or to Patch and Scott?
The ground seemed to tilt. We'd been ambushed, all right. Dante had taken Patch and Scott out of the picture and then come for me. But why? I put the puzzle together on my own. You're blackmailing Pepper Freiberg. That's what you're doing here at the graveyard, isn't it? Don't bother answering. It's the only explanation that makes sense. I'd thought it was Dabria. If I hadn't been so set on it, maybe I could have seen the bigger picture. Maybe I could have been open to another possibility. Maybe I could have picked up warning signs. Dante stretched out a long, evasive sigh.
I'll talk after you untie my hands, not the other way around.
I was so consumed by anger, I was surprised to find tears burning at the backs of my eyes. I'd trusted Dante. I'd let him train and advise me. I'd built a relationship with him. I'd come to regard him as one of my allies in the Nephilim world. Without his guidance, I wouldn't have made it half as far.
Why did you do it? Why did you blackmail Pepper? Why?
I shouted when Dante merely blinked up at me in smug silence. I couldn't bring myself to kick him again. I could hardly stand. I was so overcome with hot, aching betrayal. I leaned against the stone wall, breathing deeply to keep my head on straight. My knees shook. The back of my throat felt slippery and tight.
Untie my hands, Nora. I wasn't going to hurt you, not really. I needed to calm you down, that's all. I wanted to talk to you and explain what I'm doing and why.
He spoke with calm assurance, but I wasn't going to fall for it. Are either Patch or Scott hurt? I asked. Patch couldn't feel physical pain, but that didn't mean Dante wasn't employing some new Devilcraft prototype to cause him harm.
No, I tied them up the same way you've tied me. They're about as pissed off as I've ever seen them, but no one is in immediate danger. The Devilcraft isn't good for them, but they can last a while longer without negative side effects.
Then I'm going to give you exactly 3 minutes to answer my questions before I go after them. If you haven't answered my questions to my satisfaction in that time, I'm calling out the coyotes. They've been a nuisance around these parts, eating domestic cats and small dogs, especially with winter coming on and food scarce, but I'm sure you watched the news.
Dante snorted. What are you talking about?
I can mind speak to animals, Dante. Hence the dog attacking you at exactly the moment I needed him. I'm sure the coyotes wouldn't mind an easy snack. I can't kill you, but that doesn't mean I can't make you regret crossing me. First question. Why are you blackmailing Pepper Freiberg? Nephilim don't dance with archangels. Dante winced as he tried unsuccessfully to roll onto his back.
Can't you untie the whip so we can have a civil talk?
You threw civility out the window the minute you tried to strangle me.
I'll need a lot more than 3 minutes to tell you what's going on, Dante returned without sounding the least bit concerned by my threat.
I decided it was time to show him just how serious I was.
Food, I told the black dog, which had hung around to watch the proceedings with interest.
With his fur lying flat, I could tell he was scrawny and half-starved, and if I'd needed more evidence of his hunger, his anxious pacing and the routine licking of his lips would have been plenty. To clarify my command, I sent to his mind a picture of Dante's flesh, then stepped back, relinquishing my claim on Dante. The dog loped over and sank his teeth into the back of Dante's arm. Dante cursed and attempted to squirm away.
I couldn't have Pepper muddling up my plans, he spat finally. Call off the dog!
What plans? Dante writhed, hitching up his shoulder to fend off the dog.
Pepper was sent down to Earth by the Archangels to run a full-fledged investigation into me and Blakely.
I worked this scenario out in my head, then nodded. Because the Archangels suspect that Devilcraft didn't disappear with Hank and that you're still using it. But they want to know for sure before they act.
Makes sense. Keep talking.
So I needed a way to distract Pepper, all right? Get your dog off me. You still haven't told me why you're blackmailing him. Dante squirmed once again to avoid my new favorite dog's snapping jaws.
Give me a break here.
The faster you talk, the sooner I give my new best friend here something else to snack on.
Fallen angels need Pepper to enchant several objects using the powers of heaven. They know about Devilcraft, and they know Blakely and I control it, so they want to harness the powers of heaven. They want to make sure Nephilim don't stand a chance at winning the war. They're blackmailing Pepper.
Okay. This also seemed plausible. There was just one thing that still didn't make sense. How are you messed up in this?
I'm working for the Fallen Angels,
he said so quietly I was sure I'd heard wrong. I leaned closer. Care to repeat that?
I'm a sellout, all right? The Nephilim aren't going to win this war, he added defensively. Any way you size it up, when all is said and done, Fallen Angels are going to come out of this on top. And not just because they intend to harness the powers of heaven. The Archangels are sympathetic to Fallen Angels. Old ties run deep. Not so for us. The Archangels consider our race an abomination. Always have. They want us gone, and if that means temporarily siding with Fallen Angels to accomplish it, they'll do it. Only those of us who form an alliance with Fallen Angels early on have any chance at survival.
I stared at Dante, unable to digest his words. Dante Matarazzi, in bed with the enemy. The same Dante who'd stood by the Black Hand's side. The same Dante who'd trained me so faithfully. I couldn't grasp it. What about our Nephilim army? I said, my anger surging.
It's doomed. Deep down, you know it. There isn't a lot of time left before Fallen Angels make their move and we're thrust into war. I've agreed to give Devilcraft to them. They'll have the powers of heaven and hell and the backing of the Archangels. The whole thing will be over in less than a day. If you help me get Pepper to enchant the objects, I'll vouch for you. I'll make sure some of the most influential Fallen Angels know you helped out and are loyal to the cause.
I took a step back, seeing Dante through new eyes. I didn't even know who he was. He couldn't have been more of a stranger to me at that moment. This whole revolution... all lies? I finally managed to choke out.
Self-preservation, he said. I did it to save myself.
And the rest of the Nephilim race? I sputtered. His silence told me just how concerned he was about their well-being. A disinterested shrug couldn't have been more telling. Dante was in this for himself, end of story. They believe in you, I said with a sick feeling swelling in my heart. They're counting on you.
They're counting on you.
I flinched. The full impact of the responsibility weighing on my shoulders seemed to crush me at that moment. I was their leader. I was the face on this campaign. And now my most trusted advisor was defecting. If the army had been standing on weak legs before, one of those knees had just been kicked out. You can't do this to me, I said threateningly. I'll expose you. I'll tell everyone what you're really up to. I don't know everything about Nephilim law, but I'm pretty sure they have a system to take care of traitors, and I somehow doubt it will be very judicial.
And who's going to believe you? Said Dante simply. If I argue that you're the real traitor, who do you think they'll believe?
He was right. Who would Nephilim believe? The young, inexperienced imposter placed in power by her dead father? Or the strong, capable, and charismatic man who had both the looks and skill of a fabled Roman god?
I have pictures, Dante said, of you with Patch, of you with Pepper, even some of you looking friendly with Dabria. I'll pin this on you, Nora. You're sympathetic to the Fallen Angel cause. That's how I'll frame it. They will destroy you.
You can't do this, I said, rage sizzling in my chest.
You're walking down a dead-end road. This is your last chance to turn around. Come with me. You're stronger than you think you are. We'd make an unstoppable team. I could use you.
I gave a harsh laugh.
Oh, I'm quite finished with you using me.
I grabbed a large stone from the rubble wall, intending to smash it against Dante's skull, knock him unconscious, and recruit Patch's help in deciding what to do with him next, when a cruel and twisted smirk transformed Dante's dark features, making him appear decidedly more demon than fabled Roman god.
What a waste of talent, he muttered in a chastising tone.
His expression was too smug, given that I held him captive, and that was when an awful suspicion began to form in my mind. The whip binding his wrists wasn't causing his skin to blister the way it had mine. In fact, other than having his face planted in gravel, he didn't look uncomfortable. The whip snapped free from Dante's wrists, and in an instant he sprang to his feet.
"Did you really think I'd allow Blakely to create a weapon that could be used against me?"
he jeered, his upper lip curling over his teeth. Commanding the whip, he cracked it at me. Scorching heat sliced across my body, pitching me off my feet. I landed hard, robbed of breath. Dizzy from the impact, I scuttled backward, trying to bring Dante into focus.
You might like to know I have every intention of taking over your position as commander of the Nephilim army, Dante sneered. I have the backing of the entire Fallen Angel race. I plan to lead the Nephilim right into the hands of Fallen Angels. They won't know what I've done until it's too late.
The only reason Dante would be telling me any of this was if he sincerely believed I had no chance at stopping him. But I wasn't throwing in the towel now or ever.
You swore an oath to Hank to help me lead his army to freedom, you arrogant idiot. If you try to steal my title, we'll both see the consequences of having broken our oaths.
Death, Dante, not exactly a minor complication, I reminded him cynically. Dante chuckled with derision.
About that oath. A complete and utter lie. When I said it, I thought it might convince you to trust me. Not that I needed to make the effort. The Devilcraft prototypes I gave you have been doing a fine job of compelling you to trust me.
There was no time for his deception to fully sink in. The whip lashed fire through my clothes a second time. Urged to action solely out of self-preservation, I scrabbled over the wall, hearing the dog bark and attack behind me, and dropped to the opposite side. The steep hill, slick with dew, set me rolling and skidding toward the gravestones far below. Chapter 30. At the bottom of the hill, I looked up, but I didn't see Dante. The black dog bounded after me, circling me with what almost appeared to be concern. I pulled myself up to sitting. Thick clouds blotted the moon, and I shivered violently as frost nipped my skin. Suddenly, acutely aware of my surroundings, I jumped to my feet and ran through the maze of graves toward the mausoleum. To my surprise, the dog raced ahead, peering back every few steps as though to make sure I was still following.
Scott! I called out, flinging open the mausoleum's door as I burst inside.
There were no windows. I couldn't see. Impatiently, I swept my hands out, trying to feel my surroundings. I tripped on a small object and heard it roll away. Patting my hands across the cold stone floor, I grasped the flashlight Scott had taken with him and obviously dropped, and switched it on. There, in the corner, Scott was on his back, eyes open but dazed. I scrambled over, tugging at the blue glowing whip, scorching his wrists until it fell free. His skin blistered and oozed. He gave a pained moan.
I think Dante is gone, but stay alert just the same, I told him. There's a dog guarding the door. He's on our side. Stay here until I come back. I have to find Patch.
Scott groaned again, this time cursing Dante's name.
Didn't see it coming, he muttered.
That made two of us. I rushed outside, sprinting across the cemetery, which had fallen into near-perfect darkness. I batted my way through a hedge of bushes, plowing my own shortcut to the parking lot. I leaped the wrought iron fence and ran straight for the lone black truck parked in the lot. I saw the eerie blue light glowing behind the windows when I was still several feet away. Wrenching the door open, I dragged Patch out, laid him on the pavement, and began the laborious process of uncoiling the whip, which snaked the width of his chest, pinning his arms at his sides like a torturous corset. His eyes were shut, his skin emanating a faint blue. At last I jerked the whip loose and flung it aside, oblivious to my burned fingers.
"Patch," I said, shaking him.
Tears jumped to my eyes and my throat clogged with emotion.
"Wake up, Patch!"
I shook him harder.
"You're going to be fine. Dante is gone and I untied the whip. Please wake up!"
I pushed resolve into my voice.
"You're going to be okay. We're together now. I need you to open your eyes. I need to know you can hear me."
His body felt feverish, heat pouring through his clothes, and I ripped open his shirt. I gasped at the bubbled skin, patterned where the whip had coiled. The worst wounds curled up like blackened, scorched paper. A blowtorch would have produced as much damage. I knew he couldn't feel it, but I did. My jaw tightened with venomous hatred toward Dante, even as tears streamed down my face. Dante had made a massive, unforgivable mistake. Patch was everything to me, and if the Devilcraft left any lasting damage, I would see to it that Dante regretted this single assault as long as he lived, which, if I had anything to say about it, wouldn't be long. But my seething rage was pushed aside by a consuming distress for Patch. Grief and guilt and ice-cold apprehension plummeted inside me.
"Please," I whispered, my voice rattling. "Please, Patch, wake up."
I begged, kissing his mouth and wishing it would miraculously wake him. I gave my head a hard shake to dislodge the worst thoughts. I wouldn't allow them to form. Patch was a fallen angel. He couldn't be hurt. Not this way. I didn't care how potent Devilcraft was, it couldn't cause Patch permanent harm. I felt Patch's fingers grip mine a moment before his low voice vibrated weakly in my mind. Angel. At that one word, my heart soared with joy. I'm here. I'm right here. I love you, Patch. I love you so much. I sobbed back. Before I could restrain myself, I flung my mouth against his. I was straddling his hips, elbows planted on either side of his head, not wanting to cause him any more damage, but unable to restrain myself from embracing him. Then, just like that, he hugged me in such a tight embrace, I collapsed on top of him. I'll injure you worse, I shrieked, squirming to roll off him. The Devilcraft, your skin.
You're just the thing to make me feel better, Angel, he murmured, finding my mouth and effectively cutting off my protest.
His eyes were shut, lines of exhaustion and stress tightening his features, and yet the way he kissed me melted away every other worry. I relaxed my posture, sinking down on top of his long, lean form. His hand moved up the back of my shirt, feeling warm and solid as he held me close.
I was terrified of what might have happened to you, I choked out.
I was terrified thinking the same about you.
The Devilcraft, I began. Patch exhaled beneath me, and my body dipped with his. His breath carried relief and raw emotion. His eyes, stripped of everything but sincerity, found mine.
My skin can be replaced, but you can't, Angel. When Dante left, I thought it was over. I thought I'd failed you. I've never prayed so hard in my life.
I blinked back tears glittering on my lashes. If he had taken you from me... I was too choked up to finish the thought.
He tried to take you from me, and that's reason enough for me to mark him a dead man. He's not getting away with this. I've forgiven him for several small trespasses in the name of trying to be civil and understanding about your role as leader of his predecessor's army, but tonight he threw out the old rules. He used Devilcraft on me. I don't owe him any gestures of courtesy. Next time we meet, we'll play by my rules.
Despite the exhaustion evident in every tense knot of muscle down his body, the decisiveness in his voice held no wavering or sympathy. He's working for Fallen Angels, Patch. They have him in their pocket. I'd never seen Patch look as surprised as at that moment. His black eyes dilated, sorting out this news.
He told you that?
I nodded soberly. He said there's no way the Nephilim are going to come out of this war on top. Despite every convincing, contradictory, and hope-filled word he's been singing to the Nephilim, I added bitterly.
Did he name specific fallen angels?
No. He's in this to save his own skin, Patch. He said when push comes to shove, the archangels will side with fallen angels. After all, their history runs deep. It's hard to turn your back on blood, even if it is bad blood. There's more. I sucked in a sharp breath. Dante's next move is to steal my title as leader of the Black Hand's army and march the Nephilim straight into the hands of the fallen angels. Patch lay in stunned silence, but I saw thoughts shooting rapid fire behind his black eyes, which held a sharp edge. He knew, like I did, that if Dante succeeded in stripping me of my title, my oath to Hank would be broken. Failure meant only one thing. Death. Dante is also Pepper's blackmailer, I said.
Patch gave a curt nod. I made that assumption when he ambushed me. How did Scott fare?
He's in the mausoleum with an incredibly smart stray dog watching over him. Patch lifted his eyebrows.
Should I ask?
I think that dog is vying for your job as my guardian angel. He scared off Dante and is the only reason I got away. Patch traced the curve of my cheekbone.
I'll have to thank him for saving my girl.
Despite the circumstances, I smiled. You're going to love him. The two of you shared the same fashion sense. 2 hours later, I parked Patch's truck in his garage. Patch was slumped in the passenger seat, his complexion washed out, the same blue hue still radiating from his skin. He smiled his lazy smile when he spoke, but I could tell it took effort. It was a ploy to reassure me. The Devilcraft had weakened him, but for how long was anyone's guess? I was grateful Dante had fled when he did. I imagined I had my new dog friend to thank for that. If Dante had hung around to finish what he'd started, we'd all have been in more danger than I suspected we could have escaped. Once again, I directed my gratitude toward the stray black dog, scrappy and eerily smart, and loyal nearly to his own detriment. Patch and I had stayed at the cemetery with Scott until he'd recovered enough strength to drive himself home. As for the black dog, despite several attempts to ditch him, including forcibly removing him from the bed of Patch's truck, he'd persistently leaped back inside. Giving up, we'd let him tag along. I'd take him to an animal shelter after I'd gotten enough sleep to start thinking clearly. But as much as I wanted to collapse into Patch's bed the moment I stepped foot inside his townhouse, there was still work to be done. Dante was already two steps ahead. If we rested before taking countermeasures, we might as well start assembling a white flag of surrender. I paced Patch's kitchen, clasping my hands behind my neck as though the gesture might squeeze out a brilliant next move. What was Dante thinking now? What was his next move? He'd threatened to destroy me if I accused him of treason, so he'd at least considered that I might go through with it, which meant he was most likely busy doing one of two things. First, devising a watertight alibi, or second, and far more troublesome, beating me to the punch by spreading news that I was the traitor. The thought froze me in my tracks. "Start at the beginning," Patch said from the sofa. His voice was low with fatigue, but his eyes burned with wrath. He stuffed a pillow under his head and directed his full attention my way. "Tell me exactly what happened." "When Dante told me he's working for Fallen Angels, I threatened to out him, but he only laughed, saying no one would believe me."
"They won't," Patch agreed bluntly.
I tipped my head against the wall, sighing in frustration. "Then he told me he plans on taking over as leader. Nephilim love him. They wish he were their leader. I can see it in their eyes. It won't matter how vehemently I try to warn them, they'll welcome him as their new leader with wide open arms. I don't see a solution. He's got us beat." Patch didn't answer right away. When he did, his voice was quiet.
"If you publicly attack Dante, you'll give the Nephilim an excuse to rally against you. That's true. Tensions are high, and they're looking for an outlet for their uncertainty, which is why publicly denouncing Dante is not the move we're going to make."
"Then what is?" I asked, turning to look at him straight on. He clearly had something in mind, but I couldn't guess what.
"We're going to let Pepper take care of Dante for us."
I carefully examined Patch's logic. "And Pepper will do it because he can't risk Dante ratting him out to the Archangels? But then why hasn't Pepper already made Dante disappear?"
"Pepper isn't going to get his own hands dirty. He doesn't want to leave a trail leading back to him for the Archangels to find."
Patch's mouth hardened with a frown.
"I'm starting to get an idea of what Pepper wanted from me."
"You think Pepper had hoped you'd make Dante disappear for him? Was that his so-called job offer?" Patch's black eyes sliced into mine.
"One way to find out."
"I have Pepper's number. I'll arrange the meeting right now," I said with disgust. And here I'd thought Pepper couldn't stoop any lower. Rather than man up to his own problems, the coward had tried to dump the risk on Patch.
"You know, Angel, he has something that could be useful to us," Patch added thoughtfully. "Something we might convince him to steal from Heaven if we play this right. I've tried to avoid war, but maybe it's time to fight. Let's end this. If you beat the Fallen Angels, your oath will be fulfilled."
His eyes locked on mine.
"And we'll be free. Together. No more war. No more Heshvan."
I started to ask what he was thinking when the obvious answer hit me. I couldn't believe I hadn't thought of it before. Yes, Pepper did have access to something that would give us bargaining power over Fallen Angels and secure Nephilim faith in me. Then again, did we really want to go down that road? Was it our right to put the entire Fallen Angel population at grave risk? "I don't know, Patch." Patch stood and reached for his leather jacket.
"Call Pepper. We're meeting him now."
The lot behind the gas station was empty. The sky was black, and so were the store's greasy windows. Patch parked his motorcycle, and we both swung off. A short, pudgy form waddled out of the shadows, and after looking apprehensively around, scurried over to us. Pepper's eyes danced self-righteously at the sight of Patch.
"Look a little worse for wear, old friend. I think it's fair to say life on Earth hasn't been kind."
Patch ignored the insult.
"We know Dante is your blackmailer."
"Yes, yes, Dante, the dirty pig. Tell me something I don't know."
"I want to hear about your job offer."
Pepper drummed his fingertips together, his shrewd eyes never leaving Patch's. I know you and your girlfriend here killed Hank Miller. I need someone ruthless like that.
We had help, the archangels, Patch reminded him.
I'm an archangel, Pepper said peevishly. I want Dante dead, and I'll give you the tools to do it.
Patch nodded. We'll do it, at the right price.
Pepper blinked, taken aback. I didn't think he'd expect it to come to an agreement so easily. He cleared his throat. What did you have in mind?
Patch glanced at me, and I inclined my head. Time to pull out the proverbial ace up the sleeve. With little time to consider, Patch and I had decided that this was one card we couldn't afford not to play.
We want access to every fallen angel feather being stored in heaven, I announced. The pompous smirk drained from Pepper's eyes, and he gave a cold bark of laughter. Are you out of your mind? I can't give you that. It would take a whole committee to release those feathers. And what are you planning to do, burn the whole lot of them? You'd send every fallen angel on Earth to hell.
Would you really be that disappointed? I asked him in all seriousness.
Who cares what I think? He growled. There are rules. There are procedures. Only fallen angels who've committed a serious crime or breach of humanity are sent to hell.
You're out of options, Patch stated coldly. We both know you can get the feathers. You know where they're stored, and you know the procedure for releasing them. You have everything you need. Devise a plan and carry it out. Either that, or take your chances against Dante.
One feather, possibly, but thousands? I'll never get away with it, Pepper protested shrilly.
Patch stepped toward him, and Pepper shrank back in fear, his arms flying up to shield his face. Look around, Patch told him in a quiet, lethal voice. This isn't a place you want to call home. You'll be the newest fallen angel, and they'll make you remember it. You won't last a week of initiation.
Initiation?
Patch's black stare sent a shiver up my spine.
What do I do? Pepper wailed softly. I can't go through initiation. I can't live on Earth full time. I need to be able to go back to heaven when I want.
Get the feathers.
I can't do it,
Pepper hiccuped. You don't have a choice. You're going to get those feathers, Pepper, and I'm going to kill Dante. Have you thought this plan through? A miserable nod.
I'll bring you a special dagger. It will kill Dante. If the archangels come after you and you try to give them my name, you'll cut your own tongue out with the dagger. I've enchanted it. The dagger won't let you betray me.
Fair enough.
If we go through with this, you can't contact me. Not while I'm in heaven. All communication goes dark until I finish. If I can finish, he whimpered wretchedly, I'll let you know when I have the feathers.
We need them by tomorrow, I told Pepper.
Tomorrow? He fussed. Do you realize what you're asking?
Monday at midnight at the latest, Patch said with no room for compromise.
Pepper gave a queasy nod. I'll get as many as I can.
You need to clear out the inventory, I told him. That's our deal. Pepper swallowed.
Every last one of them.
That was the idea, yes. If Pepper succeeded in getting the feathers, the Nephilim would have a way of winning the war with a single strike of a match. Since we couldn't chain fallen angels in hell ourselves, we'd let their Achilles' heels, their former angelic feathers, do it for us. Every fallen angel would be given a choice. Release their Nephilim vassal from their oath and swear a new oath of peace, or make a new home for themselves in a place much hotter than Coldwater, Maine. If our plan worked, it wouldn't matter if Dante accused me of treason. If I won the war, nothing else would matter to the Nephilim. And despite their lack of faith in me, I wanted to win this for them. It was the right thing to do. I met Pepper's gaze, putting steel behind mine. All of them.
Chapter 31 Scott called me as soon as Patch and I were back at the townhouse. It was now Sunday, just after 3 a.m. Patch closed the front door behind us and I put the phone on speaker.
We might have a problem, Scott said. I've gotten a handful of texts from friends saying Dante is making a public announcement to Nephilim later tonight at Delphic, after closing. After what happened tonight, anybody else find this odd?
Patch swore. I tried to stay calm, but black tinged the edges of my vision.
Everyone's speculating, and the theories are all over the board, Scott continued. Any idea what this is about? The prick pretended to be your boyfriend, and then wham, earlier tonight. And now this.
I braced my hand on the wall for support. My head spun and my knees shook. Patch took the phone from me.
She'll call you back, Scott. Let us know if you hear anything else.
I sank into Patch's sofa. I stuck my head between my knees and drew several rapid breaths. He's going to publicly accuse me of treason later tonight.
Yes, Patch agreed quietly.
They'll lock me in prison. They'll try to torture a confession out of me.
Patch knelt in front of me and placed his hands protectively on my hips. Look at me, Angel.
My brain automatically switched into action.
We have to contact Pepper. We need the dagger sooner than we thought. We need to kill Dante before he can make his announcement.
A rattled sob escaped my chest.
What if we don't get the dagger in time?
Patch drew my head against his chest, gently kneading the muscles at the back of my neck that were clenched so tight I thought they'd snap.
Do you think I'm going to let them lay a single hand on you?
He said in that same soft voice.
Oh, Patch!
I flung my arms around his neck, tears warming my face.
What are we going to do?
He tilted my face to look at his. He brushed his thumbs under my eyes, drying my tears.
Pepper is going to come through. He's going to bring me the dagger, and I'm going to kill Dante. You're going to get the feathers and win the war, and then I'm taking you away. Someplace where we'll never hear the words Heshvan or war again.
He looked like he wanted to believe it, but his voice wavered just enough.
Pepper promised us the feathers and dagger by Monday at midnight, but what about Dante's announcement tonight? We can't stop him. Pepper has to bring the dagger sooner. We have to find a way to contact him. We'll have to risk it.
Patch fell silent, rubbing his hand across his mouth in thought. At last he said,
Pepper can't solve the problem of tonight. We're going to have to do that ourselves.
His eyes, unshaken and determined, flicked up to mine.
You're going to request an urgent and mandatory meeting with the most prominent Nephilim. Schedule it for tonight and steal Dante's thunder. Everyone is expecting you to launch an offensive, to catapult our races into war, and they'll think this is it, your first military move. Your announcement will trump Dante's. The Nephilim will come, and out of curiosity, so will Dante. In front of everyone, you'll make it very clear you're aware there are factions in favor of putting Dante in power. Then you'll tell them you're going to put their doubts to rest once and for all. Convince them you want to be their ruler, and that you believe you can do a better job than Dante. Then challenge him to a duel for power.
I stared at Patch, confused and dubious.
A duel? With Dante? I can't fight him, he'll win. If we can delay the duel until Pepper gets back, the duel will be nothing more than a gimmick to stall Dante and buy us time.
And if we can't delay the duel? Patch's eyes cut sharply to mine, but he didn't answer my question.
We have to act now. If Dante finds out you've also got something to say tonight, he'll put his plans on hold until he knows what you're up to. He has nothing to lose. He knows if you publicly denounce him, he merely has to point a finger at you. Trust me. When he finds out you're challenging him to a duel, he'll break out the champagne. He's cocky, Nora, and egotistical. It will never cross his mind that you can win. He'll agree to duel, thinking you've just dropped a cake in his lap. A messy public pronouncement of your treason and a drawn-out trial? Or stealing your power with a single shot from a pistol? He'll kick himself for not thinking of it first.
My joints felt as though they'd been replaced with rubber. If the duel goes through, we'll fight with guns?
Or swords, your preference, but I'd strongly suggest pistols. It will be easier for you to learn to shoot than to sword fight,
Patch said calmly, clearly not hearing the distress in my voice. I felt like throwing up. Dante will agree to duel because he knows he can beat me. He's stronger than I am, Patch. Who knows how much devilcraft he's consumed? It won't be a fair fight. Patch took my trembling hands and brushed a soothing kiss across my knuckles.
Dueling went out of fashion hundreds of years ago in human culture, but it's still socially acceptable to Nephilim. In their eyes, it's the fastest and most obvious way of solving a disagreement. Dante wants to be leader of the Nephilim army, and you're going to make him and every other Nephil believe you want it just as badly.
Why don't we just tell prominent Nephilim about the feathers at the meeting? My heart surged with hope. They won't care about anything else when they know I have a surefire way of winning the war and restoring peace.
If Pepper fails, they'll see it as your failure. Getting close won't count. Either they'll hail you as a savior for getting the feathers, or they'll crucify you for flopping. Until we know for sure Pepper has succeeded, we can't mention the feathers.
I raked my hands through my hair.
I can't do this, Patch said.
If Dante is working for fallen angels, and if he gains power, the Nephilim race will be more deeply in bondage than ever before. I worry fallen angels will use devilcraft to make Nephilim slaves long after Heshvan ends.
I shook my head miserably. There's too much at stake. What if I fail?
And undoubtedly, I would. There's more, Nora. Your oath to Hank.
Dread formed like chunks of ice in the pit of my stomach. Once again, I remembered every word I'd spoken to Hank Miller the night he'd pressured me to take up the reins of his doomed uprising. I'll lead your army. If I break this promise, I understand my mom and I are both as good as dead. Which didn't leave me much of a choice, did it? If I wanted to stay on Earth with Patch and preserve my mom's life, I had to keep my title as leader of the Nephilim army. I couldn't let Dante steal it from me.
A duel is a rare show, and throw in two high-profile Nephilim such as you and Dante, and this will be an event not to be missed, Patch said. I'm hoping for the best, that we'll be able to push out the duel and that Pepper won't fail, but I think we should prepare for the worst. The duel might be your only way out.
Just how large of an audience are we talking? Patch's gaze as it met mine was cool and confident, but for a moment I saw sympathy flicker behind his eyes.
Hundreds.
I swallowed hard. I can't do this.
I'll train you, Angel. I'll be by your side every step of the way. You're far stronger than you were 2 weeks ago, and all that after a few hours of work with a trainer who was only doing enough to make you think he was invested. He wanted you to think he was training you, but I highly doubt he was doing much more than putting your muscles through the minimum resistance. I don't think you realize just how powerful you are. With true training, you can beat him.
Patch clasped the back of my neck, pulling our faces together. He looked at me with such confidence and trust it nearly shattered my heart.
You can do this. It's a task no one would envy, and I admire you even more for considering it.
He spoke to my mind.
Isn't there some other way?
But I'd spent the past several moments frantically analyzing the circumstances from every possible angle. With Pepper's questionable chance at success, combined with the oath I swore to Hank, and the precarious situation of the entire Nephilim race, there was no other way. I had to go through with this.
Patch, I'm scared, I whispered.
He pulled me into his arms. He kissed the top of my head and stroked my hair. He didn't need to say the words for me to know he was frightened too.
I'm not letting you lose this duel, Angel. I'm not letting you face Dante without knowing I control the outcome. The duel will appear fair, but it won't be. Dante sealed his fate the moment he turned on you. I'm not letting him off the hook.
His murmured words hardened.
He won't come out of this alive.
Can you rig the duel? The vengeance smoldering in his gaze told me all I needed to know. If anyone were to find out, I began. Patch kissed me, hard, but with an amused glint in his eye.
If I get caught, it'll mean the end of kissing you. Do you really think I'd risk that?
His face grew serious.
I know I can't feel your touch, but I feel your love, Nora, inside me. It means everything to me. I wish I could feel you the same way you feel me, but I have your love. Nothing will ever outweigh that. Some people go their entire lives never feeling the emotions you've given me. There is no regret in that.
My chin quivered. I'm scared of losing you. I'm scared of failing and of what will happen to us.
I don't want to do this,
I protested, even though I knew there was no magic trap door to escape through. I couldn't run. I couldn't hide. The oath I'd sworn to Hank would find me no matter how hard I tried to disappear. I had to stay in power. As long as the army existed, I had to see this through. I squeezed Patch's hands.
Promise you'll be with me the whole time. Promise you won't make me go through this alone.
Patch tipped my chin up.
If I could make this go away, I would. If I could stand in your place, I wouldn't hesitate. But I'm left with one choice, and that's to stand by your side through the end. I won't waver, Angel. I can promise you that.
He ran his hands over my arms, unaware that his promise did more to warm me than the gesture. It nearly brought me to tears.
I'll start leaking news that you've called an urgent meeting for tonight. I'll call Scott first and tell him to get the word out. It won't take long for news to spread. Dante will have heard your announcement before the end of the hour.
My stomach took a nauseating lurch. I chewed at the inside of my cheek, then forced myself to nod. I might as well accept the inevitable. The sooner I confronted what lay ahead, the sooner I could formulate a plan to conquer my fear.
"What can I do to help?" I asked.
Patch studied me, frowning slightly. He stroked his thumb over my lip, then across my cheek.
"You're ice cold, Angel."
He tilted his head toward the hallway leading deeper into the townhouse.
"Let's get you into bed. I'll light the fireplace. What you need right now is warmth and rest. I'll draw a hot bath, too."
Sure enough, fierce shivers racked my body. It was as if, in an instant, all heat had been sucked from me. I suppose I was going into shock. My teeth chattered, the tips of my fingers vibrated with strange, involuntary tremor. Patch scooped me up and carried me back to his bedroom. He nudged the door open with his shoulder, peeled back the duvet, and deposited me gently in his bed.
"A drink?" he asked. "Herbal tea? Broth?"
Looking at his face, so earnest and anxious, guilt spiraled inside me. I knew right then that Patch would do anything for me. His promise to stay by my side was as good to him as a sworn oath. He was part of me, and I was part of him. He would do whatever, whatever, it took to keep me here with him. I forced myself to open my mouth before I chickened out. "There's something I need to tell you," I said, my voice sounding thin and brittle. I hadn't planned on crying, but tears welled in my eyes. I was overcome with shame.
"Angel?"
Patch said, his tone questioning. I'd taken that first step, but now I froze. A voice of justification drifted across my mind, telling me I had no right to dump this on Patch. Not in his current weakened state. If I cared about him, I'd keep my mouth shut. His recovery was more important than getting a few white lies off my chest. Already I felt those same icy hands slide up my throat.
It's nothing, I corrected. I just need sleep, and you need to call Scott.
I turned into the pillow so he wouldn't see me cry. The icy hands felt all too real, ready to close on my neck if I said too much, if I told my secret.
"I need to call him, that's true. But more than that, I need you to tell me what's going on,"
Patch said, just enough concern slipping into his tone to tell me I was past the point where I could use a simple distraction to get out of this. The freezing hands curled around my throat. I was too scared to speak, too scared of the hands and how they would hurt me. Patch clicked on a bedside lamp, pulling gently on my shoulder, trying to see my face, but I only twisted farther away.
"I love you,"
I choked out. Shame ballooned inside me. How could I say those words and lie to him?
"I know. Just like I know you're holding something back. This isn't the time for secrets. We've come too far to turn down that road,"
Patch reminded me. I nodded, feeling tears slide into the pillowcase. He was right. I knew it, but it didn't make it any easier to come clean. And I didn't know if I could. Those wintry hands closing off my throat, my voice. Patch slipped into bed beside me, dragging me against him. I felt his breath on the back of my neck, the warmth of his skin touching mine. His knee fit perfectly in the crook of my own. He kissed my shoulder, his black hair falling over my ear.
"I lied to you,"
I confessed to his thoughts, feeling as though I had to push the words out through a brick wall. I tensed, waiting for the cold hands to seize me, but to my surprise their grip seemed to weaken at my confession. Their chilly touch slipped and faltered. Buoyed by this small step forward, I pushed on. "I lied to the one person whose trust means more to me than anything. I lied to you, Patch, and I don't know if I can forgive myself." Rather than demand an explanation, Patch continued a trail of slow, steady kisses down my arm. It wasn't until he'd pressed a kiss into the inside of my wrist that he spoke.
"Thank you for telling me," he said quietly.
I rolled over, blinking in astonishment.
"Don't you want to know what I lied about?"
"I want to know what I can do to make you feel better."
He rubbed my shoulders in tender circles, giving me a certain reassurance. I wouldn't feel better until I came clean. It wasn't Patch's responsibility to lighten my burden, it was mine, and I felt every last pang of guilt as though they speared me with an iron blade.
"I've been taking Devilcraft."
I hadn't thought my shame could grow, but it seemed to swell inside me by three sizes. "All this time I've been taking it. I never drank the antidote you got from Blakely. I kept it, telling myself I'd take it later, after Heshvan, when I didn't need to be superhuman anymore. But it was an excuse,
I never intended to take it. This whole time I've been relying on Devilcraft. I'm terrified I'm not strong enough without it. I know I have to stop, and I know it's wrong, but it gives me abilities I can't get on my own. I mind-tricked you into thinking I drank the antidote, and I've never been more sorry in my life. I dropped my eyes, unable to bear the disappointment and disgust that would surely rise in Patch's face. It was awful enough knowing the truth,